Mr. Lee, Mr. Lee, I would like to audition for your Breakfast Show. Can you use me?
Of course I can use you. Do you have any tape?
Tape?
Yes, do you have any video of your performance?
Oh, I thought I would have to tape up the front of, so I didn't flop around a little bit. But
no.
There's not much there.
No.
A tape, yes, I have a tape, but it's me throwing eggs at her house at Christmas. I wasn't planning on doing that for your show.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, because we don't have a house on stage.
Oh, okay, but I have a name.
What would your name be?
Bananas McGee.
I like Bananas McGee. You're hired.
Thank you. Oh, gracias, gracias. Banana McGee. Burlesque dancer.
Sorry about that. It's like the first time they said, slate your name, and I'm staring at these people. I never did an audition before, and they're going, slate your name.
Oh.
And I'm like, what? And they're like, slate your name. I go, what do you mean? He goes, say your name. I go, why didn't you say that the first time? And I was mad. And, yeah. And I got the part in Water for Elephants.
That really is what happened?
Yes.
That's hysterical.
Tell me about that. Tell us about that role.
They probably said, oh my God, he's so funny. Like we said, slate your name. No, and he was like, what? And we were dying.
I haven't seen the movie. Are you in a lot?
I'm in the movie. I'm the chubby clown.
Oh, okay. So what you have dialogue and stuff?
I was one of the clowns and no dialogue whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
Just background actor. Half the time I was in makeup. The other half I was just as a regular performer out of makeup, just walking in the background or hanging out with the other clowns. And they actually hired 6 clowns. 4 were Ringling Brothers clowns. And the other 2 were a Circus Smirkus clown.
Mm-hmm.
And
what the hell's Circus Smirkus?
Oh, it's a children's circus. It's like all the performers are under the age of 18.
Oh, wow. That's
so
cool.
It's called Circus Smirkus. It's an amazing circus for that. And then
Lice Schmeiss, but not at all.
Lice Schmeiss?
Remember Lice Schmeiss, that lady that comes to your house and checks your head for lice?
Yeah.
It's not like that at all. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Not like it. And then the last clown was a chess champion by the name of Tom Thumb. That's his professional name.
Wow.
Like and the midget in the vaudeville circuit.
Exactly. And
is he under 20 inches tall?
No, okay. No. He was like 5'2". He was pretty short though, but great guy. Mm-hmm. We taped him up to one of the poles with duct tape inside the tent. That was awesome. We got yelled at, so it was cool. It was like being in the circus all over again.
Oh my God. Did you guys haze each other like that?
Confidentiality. No.
I have a question.
Not that bad. Yeah. Not that bad.
I have a question involving circus movies. And
by the way, we have Eddie and Lily here with us again.
Hello.
Ezra was waiting. He's going, slate your name. Slate your name. Yeah. What do you mean? But now, I love because we just came right in with a story. It's really interesting.
I have a question about a circus movie. Now, you might have. What? No, you might have heard this.
Does it have anything to do with lice?
No.
Oh.
You might have heard this the rumor about Chaplin's movie The Circus. Have you heard the cell phone rumor?
Oh yes, I saw.
What happened is there is a scene in Chaplin's movie The Circus where people are headed into the tent, and there is a woman crossing the background talking into a cell phone.
No, she's not talking into a cell phone.
It looks like people have looked like this, and now people are saying. People are saying, yeah, it's a Bluetooth actually, but you know, people are saying it's evidence of time travel that this woman came from the future to the past to be in a Charlie Chaplin movie. It's like, well, if that's the case, why wasn't she starring with him in the movie?
Why wasn't the damn movie in color?
Well, yeah, there you go. But she's walking by and she's doing something, holding something up to her ear as she. And it's not a transistor radio, so we can eliminate that. That was like 40 years in the
future.
Maybe
she just had a headache. Maybe.
No, she had an object in her hand, though.
Yeah.
She had something. It had to be black. It was black and white. Never mind.
I don't know.
So I know it.
She was going to eat.
I don't know. I've heard that. I was just wondering if that had made the rounds in circus circles, if anybody knew what that was or anything like that.
Now, because of the internet, yes.
Yeah.
But it was, yes. And then some more. And then, where was I? Yes. So the circus with the cell phone. But they do that in movie sets now all the time. You'll actually catch somebody on
time
set.
Traveling?
Just talking on the cell phone all the time.
You're like, we're a steampunk asshole talking into some transistor.
But yes, Water for Elephants was a great movie. It was a lot of fun. We shot like 20 days. So we were happy.
Money. Nice.
It was good money. We weren't SAG at the time.
Oh, that's not good money.
No, but it was still a lot of fun, and it was just amazing. And it was shot out the Phillies. It was Fillmore, the city of Fillmore, yep. Right behind.
Oh, I love Fillmore.
We have been there.
Yeah. So it was shot out there in a great. One of the produce
fields.
Yes. Farms. Yeah.
I forgot what the artichokes or something silly oranges. Like that. No oranges, because the trees would have blocked the tent. But it was a great tent.
Wow.
It was an awesome tent.
It was a beautiful
they
went film.
Red and white stripes, didn't
the
they?
The cinematography.
Nope, it was all
gorgeous.
It was all solid off-white.
Ooh.
Whenever so they make a movie about old Los Angeles now, like Los Angeles in the 20s to the, you know, to the 50s, they always shoot out in Fillmore, Peru Canyon, places like that, you know, because it still looks, you can actually take a single lane road through orange groves and you know, Santa Paula, places like that.
We got really lucky with you in the Piru Canyon where the honey is. He was like, hey, we go up to where they've got this Piru Canyon honey farm. It's Bennett's Honey Farm. Mm-hmm. And it's about, what is it, about an hour up
there.
Yeah. You know, if that, 45 minutes to an hour. It's just past Stevenson Ranch and, you know, up there by the 26.
Yeah, on the 26, yeah.
So anyway, you go up there and there's where Francisco's Fruit Stand and all these great places. And we get our honey there because they've got bees. They actually have a little, you know, bee farm there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were coming home. We took Tyler and Renee's kids up one day because they're like 15 and 16.
Cool
and it's
kids.
It's just nice to get them out. Yeah, it's just nice to get them out of the house every once in a while because they're not driving yet. So he says, you know what? On the way home, let's stop by that lake. I said, what lake? He goes, this lake. And he just turns. He'd never been there before. He had just seen signs and said, oh, the lake is this way. And he just took a chance that it was going to be cool. And it was awesome. And the kids, we had Calla with us, our niece at the time, and they waded out into the water, and we had fresh honey, and I mean, it was just like they were picking up rocks, and they had the best time.
It's nice.
It was
crazy. You go out there, and it's just
it's beautiful,
like the country, and it's not really wooded like Yosemite because it's the high desert, but there's a lake there, and there are deer, and there are condors, I guess, and.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see any bears, but apparently they're wandering around and there are warnings for them and things like that.
Those are guys in suits.
So, oh yeah, okay. But it's fun to have like a day at the lake and there would be a lake nearby where you could just go do that stuff. And, you know, it's like our fun
worst segue ever. So when you were developing your magic persona, I'm just going to skip the segue entirely so that we just get on point because I've got like 80 questions for Eddie and we're in like episode 5 and not getting my answer.
Let's do lightning round.
Lightning round?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like that. Should we give him a little bell to ding? I've got the taboo thing somewhere.
I can give you a minute each or something like
that. No. It's fine because I don't want to put him under pressure.
Rashi sold the high striker.
No, pressure is good.
Rashi did sell the high striker.
Yeah, he sold the high striker.
Did we tell you we sold the high striker to the rental company?
Yeah, Rashi sold
it. Tell you
yes,
sir.
That was awesome.
All right. So, all right. No, that's okay. I've got Mr. T. Wait.
No, I have a magnet. I want to see if that's magnetic.
Stop. Oh, it is magnetic. Put it on there.
How about
you just put it on there?
You're never going to get to lightning round.
How about I just go ding after what I think is every 60
seconds? Wait, can Super Rika do it?
Ding.
What? Why didn't you put it on the plastic? You can't take that off now.
Oh, you have one of the industrial magnets?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Magnets.
Okay. Awesome. One, two, three. Four.
All right. No. So let's
ding.
Boxers.
Not at all irritating. Oh, boxers. There we go. There's our answer.
Okay.
Okay. So when you got into full-time magic, how did you make that transition from circus to magic? Because you were doing them concurrently, yes. And when you left the Ringling Brothers,
I've always been interested in magic and juggling too. I learned how to juggle from a crackhead on Hollywood Boulevard when I was working at Ripley's. I forgot to tell you about that.
Do you remember the crackhead's name?
His name was Charles. He was a former Marine and he was also on the Ringling Brothers show. That's what he said. And eventually I was a Marine and then I became a Ringling Brothers clown.
And eventually you'll also be a crackhead.
No.
Oh, see, I'm encouraging and you're
discouraging.
That's
right.
That's the way to live.
I just wish that he was a millionaire because then that would have been so much better.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I've always done magic, especially with the Vernet or coins and stuff. But eventually I found out about Wolf's magic. There's a guy, his name is Chance Wolf. He did a comic book called Nymphini.
Oh, I remember Chance. Yeah, it was sort of like a dirty version of Zatanna.
Exactly.
Adult version of Zatanna, yeah.
Yes. So Chance does, He makes props for kids magicians.
How about that?
Oh, you got to Wolf's Magic.
Okay.
You got .com. Okay. You got to go to his website. I fell in love with all the stuff that he made because what he was making, it felt like he was making it just for me. Mm. Because I have three of his props in my show. Mm-hmm. So once I found out about him, that's when magic really became more of my show than anything else.
Okay. And you're just sort of a heightened version of yourself on stage.
Pretty much.
Very likable, very much the guy that we're hearing here. You know, you're doing scripted comedy. It's very funny. It's very clean. You know, I mean, it's clean comedy, but it's good. And by clean, I mean, it's well scripted, well executed, and it's damn good stuff. I mean, it's fun. You're fun to watch. Oh, I just saw your show. You got to see me,
yes.
Yeah, I got to see him work with AJ. And Trisha Lasky was just over the moon because we both love you. And also she loves AJ. He comes in and serenades her all the time. So you guys at home know. AJ is an old world carny. He grew up there. Eddie grew up in the circus, and they're both military guys. So they did a show together. They combined those worlds, and we had an Army guy and a Marine performing together, which is it was really neat.
It was a lot of fun.
Congratulations on a great show.
Thank you so much.
You must be really proud.
Oh, I'm so proud and tired. Yeah, that was 15 exhausted. Shows in 3 days.
Yeah, I've done it.
God.
Yeah, with Jonathan. Mm-hmm. I know. It's a load. But you not only did you execute it well, there were so many people that left that night who were saying, I've never seen anything like this, and I loved it.
Exactly. We didn't do anything normal.
Loved it.
We did one card trick, and that was it. We did no coin tricks, no rings, nothing that you would see at a real magic show.
Right.
That's not true. There was plenty of magic in there.
Oh, there was magic. It's just stuff that you never got to see.
Yeah. Because it was mostly character and personality based work. Yes. Which is what my next question was. When you're working on something, do you find that you're inspired by the prop first? Are you inspired by like, well, what do I want to accomplish here? Like, what is your MO when you're developing a routine?
I get the prop, read the instructions to make sure that I know what to do.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't read the patter.
Mm-hmm.
I just
By patter, he means the script that comes with the magic prop. Because usually when you buy a magic prop, it comes with a script. Usually the script is pretty awful.
Yes, especially.
And it's very generic. And it's like, this is how the prop works. This is what we're doing. This is how I'm doing it. Ta-da, you saw it all. And that's really what the patter usually is.
The bandana trick is the prime example.
It's my favorite.
Seriously?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay.
Because they give you a CD, you follow all the instructions, and there's nothing of you in that trick.
Nope.
So
it's the worst mix minus ever.
R2-D2 could do that trick.
Yes.
It might be funnier if he did that trick.
It'd be funny to see C-3PO try to do the bandana.
Yeah, a droid could do that.
A ventriloquist do that?
Oh, get it, Lily, get it.
No.
Get it.
So I got to tell you, the first thing I do with my ventriloquist act is come out, even though I have a beard, I take a long beard that covers my face and says, I would, as always, like to devote my performance to the memory of the great Jim Henson. So I put a beard on over my beard. You can't see my mouth open.
Oh, I love it.
And then I just talk normally.
I love it.
That's awesome.
Too soon?
No.
No, it's wonderful.
Not at all. He would appreciate it. He would love it.
Yeah.
Magic persona. Now, so you don't read the patter, and that's where it comes. So you're enchanted by the prop and what it does, and you say, great, now I'm going to make it mine.
Exactly.
And that's what happens. So when you were coming up, have you always been this guy on stage, or did you do like any Twee Nubbins, the ball manipulator, you know, like all these guys came up at like 10 and they're doing all this manipulation.
Oh, no. I got into magic so late.
Mm-hmm.
I knew of it and everything, but I didn't start to perform until I was 29.
Okay.
That's when I was already professional. I was already there.
Mm-hmm.
I was already there. I never had any role models. I've been watching cartoons and everything, but I never knew who drew. I know Carmine Infantino.
From DC Comics. Yeah.
Yes, he was. That's the name I remember because I bought The Flash. The Flash was my hero because I was slow. And then, but it's not slow, just slow as in fast.
Okay.
But
as in non-fast.
Non-fast, yes.
Magic persona. And so I was asking you, you've always been this guy then.
Yes.
Like you've always been you.
I'm always sincere.
And you're like, hey, let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun. And the stories that I say are true. Nobody believes that, well, I was a Marine and then I became a Ringling Brothers clown. Then I was married and then I left her. And now I'm really happy and I met Lily. So yes.
And you still get to see the dog and his.
He's this way all the time though. Mm-hmm. I say it, it's like I'll go, Eddie, would you bring me a soda from the kitchen or a water or something? And he'll come in juggling three bottles to make me laugh. Or he'll walk in, what did you do today that made me laugh so
hard? Oh, I came out of the shower wearing another one of the unicorn horns.
Yes, he came out of the shower wearing nothing but a unicorn horn.
Oh, hysterical. Balloon,
not that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you just, okay. I mean.
On his head.
Yes. Thank you.
And so that you guys at home know what he's done, he made a headband with a giant yellow unicorn horn, and I've been wearing it for like, I've been wearing it for 3.5 weeks now.
I remember when I did something like that really made you laugh was, it was a few years back, it was over at the store where they have a Starbucks.
Yes.
And you were talking to the girl whom they were making you a drink, and I kind of wandered over where the gumball machines were, and you were talking to the girl, and I kind of wandered back. And you got your drink and turned around and go, hey, look, and I raised my shirt. There was a temporary tattoo of Cinderella on my stomach.
Yes.
Kind of going like this
that
with her hands like
so
this.
Sexy.
And she
isn't
just,
it fun?
She, oh. Misty just died. I thought
I
your latte was coming up out of your nose.
Well, you're so funny. I mean, like, you guys are a lot alike. You're a lot alike. And you're so funny. The other day we were driving and I said to him, I saw this caramel brulee, like I wait all year because I don't go to Starbucks. Because I get addicted to it, and I lost 20 pounds stopping drinking it.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. I really did. I started drinking Crystal Light. I stopped drinking Starbucks, and I lost 20 pounds. And I wanted it every day.
Yeah.
And when I have one, I want one within 2 days. It's weird. So, and I was just like, you know what? That's not healthy. And then I was getting like knots in my muscles from caffeine. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it was a lot of problems. And I was like, I'm gonna stop drinking this. And whoop, I lost like 20 pounds. I'm not even kidding. I was big fat. So, anyways.
You're so cute.
It's true. It was but we were driving the other day and I see this caramel brulee ad. And I can only have one or two a season because it's too sweet. It's too much. But man, you get one. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
And I said, guess what's back at Starbucks? And he goes, Jordan, that kid who just can't seem to get his life together. And he goes, you know, I heard. And he just goes on. You know, I heard that he was going to try another semester at USC, but he's just back doing the barista thing again. And he goes, I just hope that he just. And he's going on and on and on. And we friggin' know this guy. He just made it up. I lost my shit. Like, I almost opened the car door and was rolling out into the street laughing. What a ridiculous answer. And where does it come from? It just goes.
Hey, you pitch him. I'll hit him back.
Oh, my God.
It's true.
Yes.
Yeah. I die. He's so funny, and you're very much like that.
There's a natural humor that flows out.
It happens.
Of him.
You don't do anything. Yeah. It just happens.
You get a perfect setup line, and you know the.
You can't even that. Guess what's back at Starbucks is not really like the perennial perfect setup line, but the idea that you would go back to some returning barista that just can't get it. It's hysterical because it's true.
Well, so, it was sort of the comedy. Way you said it. Like, guess what's back? Oh, Jordan, you know, he can't get his life together. You know, so he's. He's just going to work through there for the holiday. But I think, you know what? He says he's going to save up for another semester. I think he's just blowing it all on weed.
Oh, yeah. Then you made up a scenario where he had come to our Halloween party dressed as King of Weed and King didn't realize that it was our Halloween party. It was just King of Weed.
Hey, it's me, Jordan. I'm King of Weed. It's like, Jordan.
Does he listen to the podcast?
That's a great Halloween costume.
It's not real.
It's Halloween.
It's not real. He's not real. And I mean,
he's like every kid I went to high school with. And even though my high school was a long time ago, weed never changes.
No.
Weed never changes.
Oh my God.
No.
But it was hysterical because the guy went from like some ne'er-do-well that we're looking out for to a friggin' pest who's at our house all the time. And it was like, he's not real. So when you became a full-time magician, speaking of... Okay. At what point did you actually become a full-time magician? Was it, you know, like you were 29 when you started performing professionally. How long did it take you to amp up a career to where you were actually supporting yourself? Or are you still waiting?
39.
10 years.
10 years, because that's when I was laid off from Makita Power Tools.
Okay. Is that what you did for 10 years?
Got out of the circus in 2001, not by choice. Did a front flip. It's called a 108. You land on your back like this, and when you take the fall, you spread your arms out, so you're spread eagle, except your right foot usually lands knee up, so it cushions you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
and I blew my knee out, tore my ACL completely in half. It was a clean tear. It looked like somebody just took a pair of scissors. And this was during the piñata gag, when we string a, another clown up dressed as a piñata, and then we give the children sticks so they could beat him up, and then he vomits candy all over the children. It's awesome. So before we string him up, he has to run around the track, and then he gets lifted up by four clowns. One day, we only had two clowns. He didn't go very high. He actually got high enough to actually knock the person out of his wheelchair.
Oh!
So he's out of the wheelchair. He's a quadriplegic.
I love this story.
He's a quadriplegic.
Now, is this someone watching the show?
No, this is 2001.
Yes.
During the pre-show, that was our gag, was the piñata gag.
So the gag was not to knock some dude out of a wheelchair. That was not a gag.
There was two clowns. No, no, it gets better.
I mean the quadriplegic clown. That's a terrible act.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would find it all.
No, he's that's
like,
not funny.
He's got his wheelchair and he's... He's like blowing the wheelchair and it's like moving to the right and to the left, and that's all he does is blows into that tube.
The only way the story could be better is,
you know what he could do? He could do a balloon act. An alligator in a monkey suit?
I said the only way the story could be better is if there were alligators and monkeys in it.
Of course there are. You just can't see them. They're silent.
Okay. Like if the person fell from the wheelchair into the jaws of a waiting alligator. That would be awesome.
That's pretty good.
Do a balloon act where his legs are the balloons and just ties them up.
There you go. Yes. Oh. You know what? What's the name of that show where they take their wiener and their
Puppetry of the penis.
Why do we
steal that act? I am coming out in my wheelchair with balloon legs as the worst clown ever.
Making them into dogs. Twist them into dogs.
Take legs off and twist them into dogs. You are a genius, sir. Oh.
So they only had two clowns.
Can you do that act the night Princess Magic is there, and you can be her daughter?
Yes, yes. Inappropriate.
Doesn't bite me.
So two clowns only lifted him up halfway. They knocked the guy out of the wheelchair. I go up to the guy. I go, sir, I'll give you all the popcorn and cotton candy you want. I'm so sorry. While I'm lifting him up, trying to put him back in the chair, I forget that you're supposed to put the brake on. So it's scooting back. And I'm still trying to put him in the chair. Finally somebody stops the chair. I put him back into the chair. The clown that hit him, I'm not mentioning names, John Hill. He was so just he was crying. I mean, he was so terrified that he knocked
he
the guy out.
Because that'd have been loud.
No, no, he was crying. He was crying.
Knocked you out of your wheelchair.
Can we go back to the wheelchair without the brakes? Back?
A guy dressed as a clown, dragging something. I would be sitting there laughing, like thinking this is the best routine ever.
Yeah. I know. If I could do it again, I would. Finally, we get him
Let's
in.
Make that dream happen.
We get him back in the chair. I apologize. I tell him my name. I tell him John's name. And then we go in the back. John is just like sitting down, just like stupefied, just like crying. Oh my God, I'm going to get fired. And I knocked that guy out of the chair. And I go, you knocked him the out. That's when John attacked me.
And that's how you ripped your tendon?
No, no, no. But it was the same. Yeah. It was later on, that I blew my knee out in that gag.
That is hysterical.
Oh, it was awesome.
I think you should have gone for it. I think like seven clowns should have piled on the guy in the wheelchair and just gone around in lieu of the tiny car.
He wasn't upset though, you said.
Oh no, he was the guy in the wheelchair was laughing so hard. And he's like, no, this is awesome.
That's good.
He's getting, like, no, he
you
was
think that's
a really...
awesome. Wait till we run you over with the truck. So we're gonna have an elephant step on you in the second act. It'll be hilarious.
Once in a while, people do get in, audience participants do get injured or something happens. So, you know. But it was 29.
Now, is it always an accident or is sometimes it's like, you know, there's a real dick in the second row?
No comment.
And I want you to spread some seltzer. What?
No comment.
Yeah, right. Confidentiality.
Sometimes things happen, accidents happen.
Absolutely.
Snow cones go flying.
Paraplegics
you know.
Get mouthy at the ticket booth and they gotta get out of their chair.
Seltzer that's water has a mind of its own.
Quadriplegics.
He had a mark on his back of the wheelchair, that's all.
He had a chalk mark on the back of his wheelchair, as I just said, you're just trying to get to his wallet. That's all it was. But you know what? Him too. He can't get to his wallet either.
Yes.
Because he's a quadriplegic. Get it?
So 2009, I got laid off. Why?
He's
what
just,
happened?
He's going. No, what's happening?
Oh,
here?
Okay.
Yeah, just no, you I love got it. Laid off because of your. You got hurt.
No. Wait. I left the road in 2001 because I blew my knee out.
Yes.
Workman comp sucks. I was on it for 2 years.
Well, when you're making $300 a week and you're getting 80% of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that too. And they wouldn't let me do, they wouldn't let me go to school. They wouldn't let me leave my house because if they figured that if I left my house, I'm well enough to go back on the road.
And this is Ringling Brothers.
Oh, yes.
Because they were
and
the ones
they wanted me to be a cook since I couldn't be a clown because of my knee. Because I would jeopardize other people's safety. I couldn't hold my own. So they wanted me to be the cook on the pie car. Yes, there's one car on the train that's specifically a cafeteria.
Oh.
So, for pies.
For pies. They sell pies and everything
eating
else.
For throwing.
It's like Mel's Diner is basically. Yeah. So finally got off workman's comp. Got married. Was unhappy. Left the house. Moved on to Orange right down the street from the Magic Castle all this time. From 05 to 09, I was selling power tools.
Okay.
And it was a great gig. I got a company car. I got to take that on the weekends to the birthday parties or events that I was doing. So it was free gas. Woohoo! Mm-hmm. And then I worked for Porter Cable, DeWalt, Black & Decker, Rigid, Milwaukee, Ryobi. And then I ended up with Makita because they were the best power tool company ever.
And how.
Awesome.
I like Rigid.
Rigid's all right. There's nothing.
They had cuter girls on their calendars.
Oh, for God's sake. You know, and also, Paul doesn't use the power tools around here. I do. So yeah, he can go with the cute girls. He buys them for cute girls. I buy them so they don't break. So anyway. So
you Makita.
You're Makita, aren't you?
I do have some Makita tools. Yeah.
Awesome. So I got laid off. I was the go-to guy. I had the stereo, the barbecue utensils. I had everything entertainment-wise in the back of my truck. I didn't sell anything. I backed up my guy so they can get people into the stores. And once they're in there, I would hand them over. They got the sales. I would entertain.
Oh, wow.
So that's what I did. But the bosses, they were Japanese. They didn't understand this style of selling.
Sure.
Where I didn't have any numbers to prove.
Yeah.
So I was the first one to be laid off.
Oh.
Which was awesome. My boss calls me in. They're like, Eddie, we're so sorry. And I'm sitting down, I'm like laughing. I'm like, so are you going to give me a good severance package? And they're like, what? You're firing me, right? And they're like, yeah. And we're sorry. I go, don't be sorry. Just give me a good severance package and I'll be happy. Now I can do what I want to do. And the boss even said, now you can go on those auditions and everything else. And if it wasn't for the fact that I got laid off, I would never have been on Water for Elephants.
Wow.
Because I could not have ditched work.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can't do that. If you're paying me to work, I can't. Yep. Do something else. Not
which
cool.
Which is a testament as to why you're such a good performer, because you're now paid to perform and you can't not work for your audience.
Yeah.
You know, which makes perfect sense. Yeah.
So since 2009, I've been a full-time entertainer. I've been making a living.
Yeah.
Doing what I love. Yeah. And meeting awesome people.
Yes.
And bodybuilders like Ezra. God dang, are you 6'8"?
Yeah,
or 6'10"? Dude, this guy, he has biceps like you wouldn't believe. It's just insane.
It's like the Hulk.
Who is in our living room still. This thing has lasted like 3.5 weeks.
Your balloons are amazing.
Yeah, screwy
that's,
squirrels.
That's what she
still
said.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
His balloons are amazing.
So
ding. It's an all-powerful team-up of the Hulk and Screwy Squirrel.
Yes,
where
it
does
is.
That happen except in my mind?
He looked better, but
I
his head was out
good.
The window in the smart car and coming from going 50 miles an hour on Barham, kind of got beat
great.
Up. Thank you.
He looks spectacular.
Cool.
Yeah.
Ding. Next
Ding.
Question.
So actually my next question for you, because we were talking about character development and stuff like that, was the transition and advice into full-time magic, which you answered. So my next question is, you deal with kids a lot.
Yes.
A lot. And I, as a performer, found that kids are the best litmus test for your skill. And they are the best litmus because they will call your shit out. You flash. They don't say flash, but I saw it. Or they try to solve the mystery. Ugh. And so you have to be extraordinarily engaging and charming and moving. You cannot be boring because you know when you've lost them. And you also have to be really tight. So it's very hard to deal with kids, but it's awesome for so many reasons. Go. Hardest and best parts about working with kids is my
They favorite. Are the best props in the world.
What do you
Children
mean?
Are props to me.
Them.
No, I don't juggle them, but when I get a
I
kid...
I love you took you seriously. No, I don't do that.
When I get a kid and he's the perfect volunteer,
mm-hmm.
my whole show will revolve. He's the star. I'm the one that looks like an idiot. He's the one that's the star, or she's the one that's the star. Mm-hmm. Because I will not make fun of them. I will not do anything, tease them or anything like that. They are the ones that are there to be entertained and to entertain the audience. Mm-hmm. I had a 4-year-old on stage, and I go, stand right here, and I pointed to the left of my foot, and he standed right where I pointed. And then I go, no, stand over here, and I pointed somewhere else, and he stood there. A 5-minute bit lasted 10 minutes because he was just so cute. Mm-hmm. And chaos. I thrive on chaos. If the kids are bad, I am so good. If the kids are well-behaved, I suck.
Really?
True. True. If they don't do it, I need a heckler. I need a kid who's a heckler because mm-hmm. I could play with them. I'm not mean to them, but I could play, and chaos is king with when I perform.
That's awesome.
Can I make an observation that I found fantastic? A lot of children's magicians talk down to children.
Yes.
Eddie, and I think it came from being in Ringling. You don't walk up to kids and hug them. You get down on the knee to their level and you're right with them. And he does that in every piece that he does with kids. It was the thing that I found most fascinating because he talks to them as though they're adults, but mm-hmm. he talks to them on their level. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to watch because a lot of children's magicians or children, they still think it's like, I'm going to have an illusion for you. When to kids, the TV is magic because mm-hmm. it turns on and moving pictures happen. So well, you have to treat them down with where they are and play with it. And he's so friggin' amazing.
Yeah, well, it's, and it's not even necessarily down to where they are. It's up to you.
Well,
you
know, like, yes.
He brings them up to him, by getting down low. You're putting it on.
But it is even in the playing field. It is that leveling of being where they are as opposed to either direction.
A lot of kids magicians, so-called, are like Professor Hinkle and Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, they actually don't like kids at all.
Why kids are scared of them. Because of those types of characters.
I'm going to do some magic for you. Where is my magic rabbit and hat?
You just know that Professor Hinkle's off getting, you know.
He's getting a little sauce.
Getting a little sauce between shows and everything like that. Nasty old bastard. I hated magicians for a while. It's like, I hate magicians because they're all like Professor Hinkle. I never want to see a magician again. What's that comic book? Justice League? Is this Zatanna? Okay, I like magicians again.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so the hardest thing about working with kids is when they're good for you. But what's the best thing about? Because they're good props? Is there
they're
something
good props,
rewarding
and
about
when they get into the show and they're just... I did a mall show about 3 years ago. The kids are going insane. Chance Wolf product. It's called Run Wolf Run. There's a barn door right here. There's bushes here. There's a chicken coop on the left-hand side. Uh-huh. On the right-hand side is the wolf's house. Mm. So you open the door. The wolf is there. You close the door. He runs over. You can see him running from his house through the bushes because there's an opening. And you see him on the other side of the chicken coop. And the kids are supposed to yell wolf every time they see it. These kids were so crazy. There were probably about 105 to 10-year-olds in the crowd, and they're screaming in a mall that's enclosed, and it is loud. Two security officers ran up and wanted to know what was going on because there was so much noise. And I look up, I go, no, officers, they're having fun. Leave them alone. That, when they get into it, is the best part.
That's awesome.
And from the get-go, where I don't have to warm them up or anything like that, when they just know. And I do my own warm-ups at the parlor brunch and even at the Peller. I was out there, and the host always say, no, go back. And I'm like, no, I need to know my audience. Mm-hmm. They have 10 seconds to figure out if they're going to like me. I want more time.
Yep.
So I go out in front, and I talk to them. I tell them about the castle. I do the mustache trick. And then, you know, I go back and we have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very cool.
You know what? One prop that I've seen kids lose their, you know, go bananas over is it's a puppet prop. And, you know, you can bring out, like, I have a lot of the Axtell puppets and they're all really great. But you bring out the tiger or the wild boar or something like that. The kid is like, okay, I've seen talking animals on TV. This one better be amusing. You've got my attention because it's, you know, but I'm used to talking animals. But they came out with this thing. Axtell had it. I think somebody else had it, called the Peeper, which was a little, it's two little eyes that you put on your fingers. Oh, and kids, when you snap down on kids, go, oh, because suddenly these fingers have a personality. You can do pinchy. You can, like, you know, suddenly you just like that in a kid's face, and the kid is like, they never thought of using their finger that way. That's something so simple.
Yeah, two eyeballs.
To transfer it into a personality, and they all want to use it. And they all kind of run from it. They all want to be pinched, but they don't want to be pinched. Yeah.
They get it right away. Yeah. This is weird.
It's
using
theirs.
Yes.
Yeah.
If they have a pair, they, you know, they can totally run with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that being what it is, just to segue back into something else, that when you work different places, you've said you worked the Castle Brunch, you worked the Parlor, you've worked the Peller, and you've also worked large malls, you've done arena shows. How do you change? How do you choose what you're going to do per venue? Do you consider your audience? Do you consider, like, how do you select?
It's always the same show.
Okay.
It always is. Yeah. It's just, I play bigger, bigger movements, more time in between setting the prop down, going out to a kid, asking him a question, going back to the prop. The situation dictates, but it's always the same stuff. And inside my case, it's a Stanley toolbox. It has 1, 2, 3, 4 compartments. I have so many different tricks in there. I can go for an hour and a half if I used every single trick. But I choose the ones that, you know, if something fits a certain situation, I'll use it, but for the most part, it's always the same.
Mm-hmm. That's good, and that's a really fair and legitimate thing, because you've got your tried and true stuff. Everything you select is unique to you. You've selected it for a very specific reason, because it works in this order, and you know that it's going to work, so you're not going to change that, but what you are going to change is the flow. You're going to consider your audience. You're going to make sure everybody gets there. I get it. I completely get it. See, I'm totally different. If I was playing somewhere like the Parlor versus the Palace, I would do two totally different things. Like if Night of the Raven wasn't down in the Inner Circle, I wrote that routine for the Inner Circle. If I were doing it somewhere else, I would do it differently. You know, like it, and it depends on who I'm working for and with. And, you know, so it's really cool to get that perspective. And you're like, no, I've got my thing. I've got several things that I do, and I do the same things and I do them the same way. However, I'll mix up the order a little bit, or I'll do this based on, or I'll say, I'm going to omit that and we're going to do this one instead. I'm going to stretch this out a little bit.
Exactly.
Because of who the audience is. But it's, you know.
Or if I have something brand new,
It's
always something tried and true in the beginning, middle, brand new, something tried and true. So you sandwich it.
Yeah, you've got two tent poles and a swag.
Exactly.
And you're like, this swag could be awesome, or it could hit the ground and we could be totally embarrassed.
And that's the only
on
way
fire,
you know.
But that tent pole's going to bring me out of it, so let's do this. Yeah, I get it. Yep. Okay. Inventions. Is there anything uniquely yours? You said that you use a lot of Chance Wolf stuff. Or anything that you're super proud of that you have appropriated to yourself and you're like, that is the funny itty thing.
The squirrel with the mustache, definitely.
Hysterical.
You saw it with the peeps, right? With the peeps trick?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah,
yes,
everybody
giving
shout out to my peeps, and I have a little peeps Easter basket.
Which I laughed at very hard.
Mm-hmm. And it works in Wilmington. But, you know, that...
The Delawareans love the peeps joke.
No, Wilmington, California.
Oh.
Next to Long Beach and San Pedro.
I was like, wow, you played
just
the
like
whole
south
country
of Compton.
With that basket.
So... That is one that is uniquely mine.
Mm-hmm.
The bear trick with the bubble bear trick.
I loved that.
And it's still a work in progress.
It's hysterical.
It is, because it's so silly. I have a little tub, a bear, kind of looks like a honey bear, but it has a little top hat on. You unsqueeze it, you untwist it, the top hat, put it down. If you squeeze it, a little bubble wand comes out. And I'm doing it to the song Patricia.
Mm-hmm.
And I wave my hand like this, and I squeeze a little bit, and the wand comes up and up and up, and then it goes back down.
It is very wizardly.
It is.
It's very Sorcerer's Apprentice-y. You know, like, it's like you're
oh, so silly.
That song would be awesome, too.
Sorcerer's Apprentice?
Yes.
No,
I don't know.
Be a good choice.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's all yours, by all means.
He developed that, by the way, in the car on the way back from Vegas.
I saw the bubble bear wand thing in a hobby store. Thought my niece would like it. Sorry. And
she never
was
got
in the
it.
Back. She never got it. I was in the back of the car and I started doing this, you know,
and
waving it
I just
and
started
squeezing.
Laughing so hard.
And I'm like, I need to. Yes, accidents are awesome. Ask my parents about my younger brother.
Well, the zombie ball. Wow. The zombie ball.
Yes.
Guys zombie looking ball? At the inside of a toilet and going, you know what I could use this for?
That's
there you go.
Funny.
You have a zombie ball. Awesome. So my next question is, who are your inspirations? I've got, and how did you get to where you are? You told me you get to where you are largely due to GPS. To punch you in the nuts and not let you give your own joke.
Charlie Fry, huge inspiration.
Yep. And for those of you who don't know, Charlie Fry is alive and he is really damn talented and he is in Las Vegas right now in his own
and
show.
And a chip wrangler.
A what?
Chip wrangler.
Chip wrangler.
I see, really.
Yes, you have to look up Chip Wrangler on YouTube. And he actually controls the speed of a casino chip falling down the casino and just making so many. It looks like a Rube Goldberg contraption where everything is the contraption and the chip is just going from point A to point B.
Wow.
And Charlie Fry is just an amazing performer. He's an inspiration.
And now, was he a clown?
He was a Ringling Brothers clown on the Red Unit.
Okay.
And Lou Jacobs looked at him and said, "Hey, why are you here?" And Charlie Fry's like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You're not going to go anywhere. Get off the road and make a life."
Wow.
He just told him to get off the road and do what he does best. And he has. And he's just an amazing performer.
So get off the road because he was.
Leave the circus and
go perform.
Go big. Yes.
Okay, because I thought it was like a Jim Henson story where his professors at University of Michigan said, "These puppet things you're doing aren't going to go anywhere."
Oh, no, just the opposite.
It was the exact opposite. They said, "You've got way too much potential. We don't want to hold you on contract. Get the hell out of here.
The world
needs you."
My favorite quote from Charlie Fry is, "Never pass up an opportunity to make a child smile or piss off an asshole."
There you go.
Charlie Fry.
There you go.
Great quote.
CharlieFry.com. Have you seen you know him, don't you?
I don't. Paul has met him.
You got to see his DVDs. They're called Eccentrics.
I have those.
Yo, then you know.
I do. Wonderful. Yes. I'm a big Charlie Fry fan.
George Carl, another inspiration. He doesn't have that much on video. He passed away a while ago, but he was a vaudevillian.
So he won't have any new material. Out.
No. But the thumb stretch.
In my show, maybe.
The thumb stretch is a.
Oh, that's great.
That's one of his bits. And
this is uniquely yours.
Oh, yeah, my ear.
Yeah, well, we all have ears, Eddie, so explain yourself.
Wait, the ear that's on my logo on my car.
I know what you're talking about, but they don't because they can't
see.
Don't
worry. I'll put it on my website so you guys can take a look.
Oh, good.
I have enough time.
Yes. Do you have is there a YouTube link to you doing it?
No, not yet, but there will be. Yes, there is. I'm so sorry. There is. It's actually called Eddie's Ear. That's all you have to put in on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's been there for a while now.
Write that
down. For about 3 weeks.
Yeah. Feverishly writing it down. So that's cool. So also, as far as balloon twisters, who are your favorites?
Oh, BusterBalloon.com.
Okay.
Buster Balloon is the premier American balloon artist.
What, in your opinion, makes him the premier? I mean, awards and prestige aside, why do you admire him? Or her. Is it a dude or a chick?
Buster. No, Buster.
It's a dude. Okay.
No, Busty's his wife. No, it's Annie Banani. But Buster Balloon, he really started making DVDs that showed you how to make awesome balloon creations, and he broke everything down. He's a comic. He's a magician. He's a breakfast cereal connoisseur.
Yes,
he's amazing. He did a show, not a show, but he twisted balloons for Leonard Maltin. He was at a party and he made Droopy the dog for somebody.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I think I saw that balloon animal.
He revolutionized balloon art, though.
He did. Buster Balloon is he's my mentor and just all around cool guy. He really is.
A lot of the technical stuff he came up with and a lot of the base designs now that are used for everything else that's come since were him thinking outside of the box. Because he's a magician. That's what he told me. So being a magician made me think about how to do balloons differently.
Interesting.
He's amazing.
Yeah,
he truly is amazing.
You know,
he's a wonderful performer.
That's awesome. And you know, it's interesting because some of the best innovators didn't start out that way. And it's like, well, I was just thinking as a whatever, you know, like, I mean, for me specifically, one of my illusions that I do, one of the tricks that I do and I came up with myself is a variation of an old gypsy thing that they've done for years. But the way I do it, I can do it the way I do it because I know dentistry, because I use a dental tool.
Ah.
And it's just like, why wouldn't I do it that way?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, how did you think of that? And it's like, it just did. The same way you're like, well, I would just do this, you know, like when you... For example, if you had a huge tour date, you would probably assign people cherry pie tasks, and they would probably, yes. you know, like you would yeah. break it down and say, this is what I need done. Who's good at this? Let's do that. Here's your extra pay for doing this task. Da, 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 da. And it would be very organized. You would rehearse your load in. You would rehearse yes. your load out as much as you would rehearse your yeah. show.
Everything in my smart car. My whole show fits in my smart car, and it's a certain way it has to go.
Uh-huh.
And it's trial and error, but you just see it's how Tetris. Much stuff.
It is Tetris putting his show in his car. You just
see how much stuff I put in my car.
Yeah. yeah. So then, you've literally turned your car, your smart car, into a clown car.
Oh, it is. It is. We've had 7 cars in front of the stinking rows. Or 7 people inside the clown car. We were parked in front of the stinking rows.
Hysterical.
It was bad because I didn't know if the struts were going to take it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I wouldn't even think about the car's capacity to hold the weight.
Exactly. So it was awesome. Ding, next.
Yeah, all right. So I have 2 questions. What in your opinion are the dark or the downsides of clowning? We had talked about how the pay is kind of abysmal and you do it because you love it and you do it because it's an education and because you've always wanted to do this thing.
Right.
What are some of the other downsides or dark sides? You know, some sad moments that you've seen or the worst part of it, you know, like that kind of stuff.
I was getting pulled over by Batman. We're one.
Wait, you're not the Joker.
You're cruising totally around in your smart car and then suddenly the Batmobile pulls up flashing and it's like you stop and then you get pulled out the window and it's like, all right, oh, wow. Well, keep your nose clean.
I like how in this dream world the Batmobile has a siren of some sort.
Paul Dini can put whatever he wants
and a badge.
Okay, I'm going to shut up now for a while.
No, I was with you on that. That was awesome.
I thought that was funny.
So what are the dark sides? The real dark sides. I'm going to ignore him.
Okay, on not the road
dark
with
nights
the
of clowning. The dark side of clowning.
Dark night of clowning. It's like funny side of mad.
The dark night of clowning.
I love you.
He pulls you out and gives you a warning. Then he reaches back in and pulls out 6 more guys. And gives
That's funny. Eddie.com. So.
It's, you know, and you cut to a close-up of a clown. You know, Professor Buckles. It's, you know, it's profiling. I can't drive through Gotham anymore without somebody. You know, Uncle Binky, my partner Uncle Binky got beaten up by Robin last week. Do you believe it? You can't tell me that's not racial profiling of some sort. Okay. All right.
Please write that.
I think that would be a fun skit. You just have Batman pulling over clown cars, and he's searching them. And all right, you can go.
What's the dark side of clowning?
The dark side of clowning.
Mugsy and I have the exact same expression. Come here, buddy. We're both looking at Paul going, really?
Oh, it's
and
it's
everybody
so
else
great.
In the room is laughing, and
you
we
have
are
no
straight
idea.
Handing him like nobody's business.
I think it's funny.
It is.
All right, okay.
Eddie.com.
Dark side. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Dark side.
Yeah, we just had the dork side of clowning. I just did that. Yep. And yours was better. So now I'm embarrassed myself.
I don't know. Ding. I never
was
saw.
Was there any moment where you were like, wow, that's really hard. It's really hard to be a clown. I can't even say that sentence without laughing. It's really
hard to be a clown.
I mean, obviously, we've heard that it's very physically strenuous. It is emotionally difficult because you're in this tiny space. You're sharing this space every second with other people. Yes. You're not really paid all that much. There's a lot.
Oh my God, it does sound depressing.
Yeah. Well, it sounds hard. It really sounds hard. You always get this, there's like an archetype, which right. I do with Princess Magic, which is the drunky, you know, like probably we shouldn't be doing this for children anymore kind of thing. You know, like, did you see any of that on the road? Was it not tolerated? Was it such a painful existence that these people sort of, did you ever see anybody bury their head because it was too much? Did you ever see any dark moments?
No, it's bizarre. I have lived a charmed life. Mm-hmm. Things just fall into my lap. If I'm stressing out on not getting gigs, I'll just somebody will call me up and give me like the best gig ever, mm-hmm. and I'm fine. Ever since I was a kid, it's been that way. Mm-hmm. My parents are still together; they love each other. somewhat. No, they still love each other. They're still living together. And it's just, my brother is awesome. He has alopecia. And it's just.
Oh, my God. He's going to be so proud.
Well, no. It's just crazy. We gave him a mustache kit for Christmas. And he put the mustache on his upper lip. And then he got another mustache and put it on his. For the goatee, and then he cut one mustache in half, and now he had eyebrows, and he was so happy.
He turned himself into a Mr. Potato Head.
No, Hugo. He turned himself into Hugo. You remember, right?
Yes, I remember.
You remember Hugo?
Hugo, the mad scientist doll. You know, or that you can dress him as different things. Yeah.
Man of a thousand faces.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
So, yes. So,
so there's never a day when the flower doesn't squirt.
You know, there isn't. He wakes up every day singing.
There's not.
He's just... He's happy from the inside out. It's an amazing thing. You hear a lot about the sad clowns. He's not one of them.
No,
well,
I'm not.
What's also a choice for you, though?
Yes, it is, because I'm always smiling.
I mean, you've been around the world, and you've probably seen a lot of pretty dark stuff. Like that paraplegic story that you told us last week, hysterical. Could have been so sad.
Could have been horribly tragic.
Oh, and it was just that poor man. I would never say that. And I would have been laughing no matter how you told the story because it's hysterical. And I really am disappointed you didn't string him up and make him the pinata.
No.
And now I want to know, if you beat a paraplegic, does candy come out?
There's only one way to find out.
This is true.
Oh, Rashi. Rashi, get the car keys.
So, Daddy, Poppy, you're not really going to go beat somebody, are you?
Oh, well, I you want some candy, don't you?
See?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's that. Beating paraplegics is probably not a high point. And I'm going to perpetuate that actually happened and you did it. So you never personally saw a dark side. Did you watch people around you suffer from it and make other choices? Or were you genuinely just around good people that didn't really suffer from those afflictions? And
I saw a lot of homesickness from the Brazilians and the Russians and the Americans, even because back in 99... cell phones were really a luxury.
Mm-hmm.
You really couldn't...
They were also very large. And they would fill up your stateroom on the train. Because, I mean, that was like a commitment. They had their own steamer cases and giant wheels. With
but now...
You couldn't afford them at the what you were being paid, too.
No,
at $2.99
really.
A minute. $7.99 a minute when they first started.
Yeah. Like, and then the nearest phone was wherever, what city you were in. And then you had to hike a mile in.
And wait in line to use it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But now you have Skype. Yep. You have Wi-Fi on the train.
FaceTime,
So that's something else that nobody has to go through again. I mean, in the 70s, they didn't have washing machines on the train cars. You know, anytime before
that's
that. So you would
ripe-ass clowns.
Yes. Yes, what? Febreze was made for clowns.
Yeah, but you didn't have Febreze in the 70s either.
No, I don't know.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. But it was... Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So, where do you shower on a train?
That's what the elephants are for.
Yeah.
Oh.
As it was in Fred
Flintstone's day.
In Fred Flintstone's day. So it is today. Okay, Ethel, give it to me.
Yeah, he just pulls on her ear and it comes out of her snout trunk. Okay, so you never really saw a dark side?
No, just the loneliness, the homesickness. I was in the Marine Corps before that, so it was nothing new to me. But you had a lot of the clowns that were like 21 and over, who first life experience outside, away from, you know, outside of home, and you know it hit them kind of hard, but you get used to it.
And you weren't allowed to have pets on the road either because you had this menagerie.
Only
to take care of.
If they were part of your act.
Okay.
If you were
could you have a dog as part of your act if the dog had a trick specific to do?
Yes, definitely.
So if Muggsy
but they
here,
would have to okay it.
Yes.
And the dog would have to be trained before it came on the road.
Yeah, you really couldn't.
Right.
Just get a dog, a rescue
and say,
from
oh,
Boston,
but he's gonna,
or
whatever.
Boston
Buddies.
Yes,
but Boston if you had a Boston Terrier and trained it to, you know,
jump through a hoop,
or do a funny trick, then you could bring that as part of your
act. Definitely, more to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So interesting.
Ding.
Ding. How did you get involved with the Magic Castle?
Ramon Medellin, Wacko the Magician.
Nice.
He was the first. We got to the castle in 08. I don't know who. Oh, we went to go see Hillel. Because he was.
Guy.
Yes. Because of that.
Oh, Hillel is great.
Oh, yeah. He's an awesome guy. He's a good friend.
He's an amazing human being. He has a very bright, shining soul, and you can just see it.
Yes, he does.
He sits in a room, and you can feel him in the room.
Yep.
mm-hmm. because he is so positive, and he is so genuinely positive. I love that man.
He's awesome. He's great. And his wife.
He's really cool. His wife is lovely. Is she from Brazil?
I don't know. I think Argentina. She's a
very tall, beautiful brunette.
Argentina, I believe.
Yeah, and she's really got it together, and she is just, she's the same.
Yes.
She radiates that strength and energy and this beautiful, and also she's stunning to see.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're a really good couple. Yeah, they're very good together.
I think so. We need to take some inspiration from the people around us and bring a little more...
Balloons into the house you can crawl inside?
No, a little more happiness in what I do.
Oh.
You know, being around with such happy people and positive people, it's very inspiring for me.
So, Hillel?
Hillel, we went to go see Hillel.
Uh-huh.
And I got the bug. I wanted to come, you know,
you
keep
mean
going
lice?
Back. No, no.
Oh, crabs.
No,
no. No. What bug do you catch at the Magic Castle? That's
the
not
Magic Castle
parasite?
Bug.
Oh, excuse yes. me. I'm sorry. Different experience than you had.
So I found out how I could be a magician, got Ramon to sign my membership application, went
so
to
that,
go
ladies
audition.
And gentlemen, if you've ever wanted to be a magician member of the Magic Castle, there's your answer. For those of you who've been asking, all you have to do is find this Ramon guy and have him. kidding. Tell him what you did, because you do have to audition, and you have to go in front of a board of people who are all magicians and
yes.
performing. You know, so you've got to perform in front of performers, and then they ask you questions about performing and about all kinds of stuff. So, what was your audition? What did you do?
So I did the hopping half, which is the 2-coin trick from Johnson Coins.
Mm-hmm.
I did that.
Which he mentioned a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
It was like 6 weeks ago. And he was talking about how much he loved, and that was one of the first tricks that you picked up, you were enchanted by, and you still do it. And I think that's awesome.
Yes, I used that one. I'm pretty good at it now after 20 years.
I would hope so.
Did that. I did a flipstick vanish in front of Shirogawa, who is the originator, or not the originator, but he
certainly
pretty much...
one of the pioneer and developers of furthering that, yes.
Yeah. Yes, you know which one, right? You know.
What?
Yes, okay. Yes. So then there was
he
that,
know,
and then there was about a good 5 to 7 minutes of me just talking about the circus. And once they found out I was a Ringling Brothers clown and I performed in the circus all that time, and I ate fire in the circus and did all other kinds of things and told them about that, I think that helped me out a little bit.
I should say it probably did. Yeah.
So that it went well. I did a 6-coin muscle pass in front of Shuto Ogawa, who's famous for that. And it was just, I was just throwing the coins from one hand to another. There was nothing magical involved.
It's okay.
And
is it, but a lot of their questions go back to, are you entertaining?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it really does, because I did very simple magic at mine, but it was a tight routine, and it was, you know, they clearly knew that I had performed that in front of human beings before. It wasn't just something that I cooked up and crapped out for them, you know.
Exactly.
Which is, but
there were
now
probably about,
that's what I do, but back then I really...
There were 6 performers, and I think 4 made it, 2 did not. That was math. Yes.
Again,
yes.
With the math.
I know.
It is educational with Eddie. Here we go.
It's also educational.
Right? Educational.
Yes.
No.
Oh, no. No. Special ed.
Yeah. Oh! Yes.
Yes.
Ding!
Yeah, ding!
Thank you.
So
thank
now
you.
I want to ask you, Lily, who are your burlesque inspirations? We talked a little bit about some of the ones you've worked with, but who are your favorite chicks right now at your current flavor? Because we were talking about how your taste evolved in the break between weeks here. Because what we do, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are at home and can't see what's going on here, they're actually chained to our sofa.
I know.
And we poke
it's
peas
awesome.
In their mouths. Yeah, we poke peas in their mouths to make sure, vegetables, to make sure that they get their vitamins and nutrition, but that's it. And they get their water, and then they sit here for weeks, and we do not let them up until we're done. And
like
so,
being centipede.
So they, you know, the bugs crawl on them, and this is just how we roll in here. And so in between,
ding.
There's a lot of podcast. Oh, so who are your favorite burlesque performers? Thank you.
I'm a producer. I'm not allowed to have favorites.
Oh, yes, you are.
No,
you're allowed to have people whom you admire and love to see again and again. For whatever reason. You could if you would rather say, I love this kind of act, or there's a specific act to that.
I like acts that are innovative and new. In the last 5 years, a few of my favorite acts, the one that kind of made me go, I really don't know anything about burlesque, was my
first year at Miss Exotic World in 2005. And
will you explain to the folks at home what Miss Exotic World is?
Exotic World used to be in Hellendale, and it was a reunion for exotic dancers, and they had a museum out there. They have things like Jane Mansfield's pink heart-shaped couch. They have Gypsy Rosalie's travel trunk and a bunch of her clothing that was donated by her sister June. Blaze Star's smoking couch that she would get on, and as she started getting hotter and hotter, the actual couch started to smoke. They have some of the costumes that she wore in the movie. A Tempest Storm stuff is out there. Sally Rand's Ivory fans are there. But it's a huge convention every year that really helped to bring the neo-burlesque scene alive. Mm-hmm. You know, in the early 90s, Dita and them, or late 90s, I mean, Dita and them actually went out there, met with Dixie Train, and kind of brought more of that traditional burlesque out there. So the first year I was there, Little Brooklyn does a number that is a World War II, Rosie the Riveter act, mm-hmm. and she comes out with this tulle chest and, or tool case, and she's in the costume, and she, you know, comes out of it and picks up two hubcaps and does a fan dance with them. And I just kind of went, awesome. Oh, that's brilliant.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so it just kind of made me go, think outside the box more, because the performance art side and the pop culture and poking fun of what was contemporary was always what made burlesque great. So right. I was like, looking at what we do now, you know, that eventually evolved into I do a Quentin Tarantino burlesque film festival, now called Inglourious Burlesque. And we have anywhere between, you know, 10 and 20 different Tarantino projects that are featured in it. And we were very fortunate. He hired us and we did a private party for him that was awesome. But so things that, that take it and put it on the end. Michelle L'Amour is also a Miss Exotic World title holder. The traditional balloon popping act, where the girl comes out with the balloons all tied around her, she pops them off, and each time she pops it, her skin becomes more revealed underneath. Michelle took it a total different way. She came out at Teaserama one year, and I'm like, she's going to do a balloon act? Seriously? And instead of popping them, she untied them, and the balloons had helium in them. And eventually she shimmied out of her bra and it just floated up to the ceiling.
Nice.
She untied her G-string and it floated away. And I was just like, fuck, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So for me, the acts that really take traditional strips and do something new and innovative with them. Another one that's amazing is Julie Atlas Muse. She does an act like Buster and Hillel do, where they get inside the balloon. And so she does it like the old Sally Rand balloon dance, where mm-hmm. she's doing the ballet with the balloon and then gets inside of it and at the end pops it with a big glitter splash.
Wow.
So it was, again, taking something that was traditional, using what's going on now with the contemporary arts and turning it on its head. So those are the things that I find are really inspiring and fantastic for me.
What do go ahead.
Go ahead.
What do you say to somebody who is doing, who's not doing that, but who has obviously studied whatever, either classic or contemporary burlesque, and is just doing that? Do you say?
I say, good for you for doing the art that you love and the art that you want to do. Uh-huh. And I say to them, as they progress and grow, it's amazing to see how you evolve and change in your journey.
Okay.
With any art, it's a journey. What you do in the beginning and what you end with towards the end of your life are completely different. I mean, Houdini right. started as cards and ended up being, you know, an escape artist. Mm-hmm. And so it's like whatever it is that evolves inside of you and changes inside of you. The first act I did, I was like, here's a song from a musical. This is what a girl would take her clothes off wearing. I have feathers and velvet and gowns and gloves. And I'm fabulous. Mm-hmm. I would never do another gown act if my life depended on it. Mm-hmm. I have three pairs of collapsible fans. Mm-hmm. I have one fan dance that I do because it's not me. Mm-hmm. But I tried it. I mm-hmm. mastered it. I know how to work fans better than some of the girls that are touring doing fans. But it's not me. Mm-hmm. So find what it is that you enjoy and go after it. And I mean, again, I love a lovely, sexy gowns and glove strip because, mm-hmm. again, there's nothing better than watching a pretty girl take her clothes off.
Mm-hmm.
I like it to be a little more complex, and I prefer humor in my personal taste. Mm-hmm. Honey, I'm a Home is fantastic to me. There's another girl, Red Sonja, in town
uh-huh.
that blows my mind. Her tagline is the Carol Burnett of burlesque. Mm-hmm. And for me, those are the ones that I find most stimulating. But I still love a classic, you know, strip. I think they're fantastic.
It's the same in magic. Like, I'll see somebody do linking rings, I don't know how many times. And they do it professionally, and they do it to nice music, and they do it dramatically. It's still the linking rings. If there's a way to kick it up a notch by making it something else. When
is it that gets stuck in the linking rings and then they're stuck in the microphone cord and then they're stuck in the damn
Charlie Fry has one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he does it with hoops, hula hoops, like that big.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's interesting because now he's stuck in the microphone stand and now he's in the damn cord and now he's everywhere.
This goes to me as a producer because I see eight a week and I go to other burlesque shows and I go to conventions and I've had the opportunity to work with what I think are some of the best people doing the art of burlesque right now. I mean, when I watch an act and by the end of the act, it's like my vagina hurts. That was so good. Mm-hmm. You know, that's awesome. There's a new performer right now in LA from Japan. Her name is Nikita Bitch Project. She was a student of mine, but she's an amazing dancer. Mm-hmm. And she literally has a team that works with her to create stuff. She came and did my Madonna show and comes out with a YouTube screen that she walks onto the stage in. And I was just like, her production values are beautiful. Her dancing is amazing. Her body is gorgeous. Her facial expressions are beautiful. She's comedic and sexy at the same time, but never boring. And it was just, I mean, I just was like, she's an amazing up and comer and I think she could be a title holder. Mm-hmm. So it's, so for me, it's taking it and kind of turning it on its head again and again and again. Eventually, I think maybe I'll be going, wow, I just want to see a gloves and gown routine, you know? Because I think I will evolve as a audience member that way. But for now, those are the ones that really blow me away. We have a performer here in LA, Lux Lacroix. We just did a Prince show called Erotic Titty. And she came in first runner-up with this act, but she comes out as Prince and does Let's Go Crazy. And it is just, it hurts. It's so good to watch because she's an incredible dancer. Mm-hmm. She's an amazing storyteller and she looks like Prince, but she's a girl. So it's like so fucking sexy for me because of the whole androgynous. So it's just an act that I could watch a billion times. Because again, it hits everything for me that I find sexy, fascinating, funny. And Prince is ridiculous, you know? So everything about it is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is my last question because I just got the wrap it up eyeballs from Ezra. So, and I'm going to ask it to you both. So whichever one of you wants to go first. It is, where do you see the future of your art going and what are you most excited about?
I should go first?
Yes, you should.
Because you were already on a roll and we were already in it. So where's the future of burlesque? And what are you excited to see evolving? Like, where do you see it going? And what do you love about what could
up? I have no idea because in the 9 years I've been involved, it's changed 3 or 4 times because the movie influence kind of changed who came into burlesque. It wasn't so much, you know, do it yourself as it is now buy it off the rack kind of stuff.
Okay.
I hope that it becomes more popular again. I hope that audiences realize that sitting at home watching YouTube, as entertaining as that can be, is not the human connection that you have in live theater. So I hope that for society's sake, we start to venture out into the world again and more people start realizing that having something and owning it on TV is not as important as owning the live experience. Mm-hmm. I hope that it continues to grow and that performers continue to challenge themselves to be better. I think that's, you know, that's my hope. That's my view. I hope, you know, 10 years from now, I'm still doing it.
And what do you love the most about doing what you do right now and about just being immersed in that world? What's one of your favorite things about it? We've talked a lot about wonderful aspects of burlesque.
I've worked in the corporate world and I've made a shit ton of money. I mean, I used to sign contracts selling airtime where it's like my commission was $300,000, you know, and I now go, wow, I made $150 this week. And yet I wake up every morning with a song in my heart, a fabulous guy next to me, and I get to work with people that inspire me to be a better person. Mm-hmm. So I love that about my life. And if I, you know, have a bad knee the rest of my life and I hobble around and I get to hang out with strippers and magicians and jugglers and clowns and fire eaters and sword swallowers, God damn it, I have an awesome life.
Nice.
So yeah, I can't complain.
That is so good, it made my vagina hurt.
Do you know what I mean, though? Yeah, or it's, you just, it's like, oh, that was just so good to the soul.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because it made you feel something. Yeah. This is crass also, but my friend Michelle used to say, oh, that makes my coochie tickle.
Yeah.
That's what she always used to say.
It's exactly anyway. How I feel. It's, yeah.
Every single person in this room is crossing their legs. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, your turn. Crap. What makes your vagina hurt, Eddie?
You want me to not top that, but follow that? Okay.
Well, top off is what she's talking
top
about.
Top me, baby.
I'm a bottom. All right, so.
You know what? At least you know, because then you can find a top and be happy forever.
So, what was the question now? Because that was just awesome.
I forgot.
Where do you see yourself in a few years?
What do you love about the world you're immersed in? But we'll answer that one last, because that was the most heartfelt answer. So where do you see the future of, and we can talk about, you can go magic, clowning, whatever, all of it.
Well,
and also, what are you excited about for the future of your art specifically?
I'm always excited because I'm always getting a new audience because people are still having kids.
Yeah.
So that's always a new
probably
audience.
Not going to stop too.
No, exactly. Yeah. So I'm always going to be fresh to someone. I've had families that have hired me like every other year for the past 5 years because they keep having kids and everybody knows me and they love what I do.
Yeah.
So that's always a great thing. I know I am going to be doing more things corporate-wise, especially because there aren't that many people that are doing what I am doing this well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm doing very well. I know that I'm up there. I really, really am. Or at least I think I am.
In every single aspect of what you do, too. So not just in balloons, not just in magic, not just in performance, but in all of those things for you.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
you are very
actualized. And I'm knowing people more like you guys. I mean, just amazing people. And Ezra, too, the bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing that my life is just getting better and better every year.
Mm-hmm.
I meet the best people and burlesquers and jugglers and clowns and bears. No bears.
Those are guys in suits.
No,
I told you that.
But I'm just so happy I'm happy with my life. I love my life.
So where do you see the future of everything that you're doing right now? Like, do you see it evolving? Do you see it changing? Are you just excited to see what's next? Like,
I know birthdays are always going to happen, so I know that's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you never know what I'm going to stumble upon, literally. There might be something. Someone might see a balloon creation and go, hey, we need somebody teaching a DVD, or we need somebody doing a show. We need somebody doing something that I don't even know about.
Yeah.
And life is a surprise. You never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I wake up every morning next to Lily, and that's awesome because I have to, because we have a one bedroom. And it is just amazing. I'm so happy. My parents are proud of me. They are so happy for what I do.
And that's great.
I told them, I gave them 3 days notice. Hey, I'm joining the circus. Well, if that's what you want to do and it's going to make you happy, go for it. Nothing. No. Oh, you shouldn't do that. Never, ever have they told me not to do something.
Well, and I mean, literally, like, you hear the nightmare. Oh, he's running away to join the circus. How many parents use that as a joke? Yeah. You really did it, dude.
I know.
But
there
you told your
many.
Parents first. You didn't call them from the road and be like, I'm in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, in the Red Company. You know, or the wrong side of the country, right? Because the Red Company is which side?
No. Big cities.
They switch. That's right,
big cities, first year. Little cities, the second year.
Yeah.
And they just switch off. And Rosemont, Illinois is always the first place. That's where you go.
Oh, wow.
Rosemont. And it's a little armory, and it's just one of the last arenas that still has a wooden floor. Everybody else is concrete.
Wow.
So it's awesome. But I'm
That's
just
easier on your feet.
Yeah, that too, especially with clown shoes. But I'm always looking forward to the next day to see what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. And thank you both, all three of you. And Emily. I'm sorry, Emily. I didn't see you there. Thank you all so much for having us. It's just been a blast. It's
our pleasure. It has been our privilege, our honor, and
for the last pleasure. For the last 3 weeks, songs from the musical Barnum have been running around my head.
Yeah.
Join the circus like you wanted to.
Yeah, we should put some of those in here for him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
Yeah, can we? We'll send them to you. You can use them as lead-ins. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, do you have any departing advice, words, a favorite quote that you want to share with the listeners? We're definitely going to have you back again. There's so much more to cover. There's so much ground to cover. But just for now, because we're going to say hiatus over the holidays and stuff. Is there anything that you guys really? Do you have a favorite?
Follow your heart. Hey. Do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
If you do what makes you happy, you can never be sad. If you're doing what you love to do, there's never a bad day.
Yeah. Well, and I can't imagine two people more the poster children for follow your heart. I mean, look what you guys do. Look how happy you are. Yeah.
Don't be afraid to fail. Because if you don't fail, you will never know what you can succeed at.
Yeah, you can't learn.
If anyone had told me at 37 years old I'd take my top off in front of a room full of people in Hollywood, I'd have told them they were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the best experience of my life.
Yeah. One of the saddest things I've seen are people who have hit success at an early age and kind of stayed there because they've never really wanted to stretch themselves or do anything else. Because the idea of failure is akin to oblivion with them.
And or other people on the other side of the coin who have what I call someday syndrome, which is, I have these huge dreams and someday I'm going to do that. And for some people, having those dreams is enough. They never have to achieve them because that's what keeps them going, is that dream, I will escape this someday. But the problem with that, I think, is they're not living it every day.
Yeah.
Because we all have the capacity to do that. There are some people who want nothing more than to be filing claims in a Blue Cross Blue Shield office, because that fills their soul. Seeing that paper go from start to finish, knowing that check is getting sent.
It's a wonderful accomplishment.
It is it is an accomplishment. It is tangible. It is right in front of them. And they go home after a good day's work and they go, yeah, I rocked that claims form processing. And that is what they were made to do, because that is their life goal. There are people in that job that it is eating their soul. And I would imagine that I don't even have to imagine it. I see people perform that it is eating their soul from the inside out. The business of show business kills them. The actual performing aspect scares them and they don't want to do it, but their audiences demand that they do. You know, like, and it's, instead of that, if that person wants to process claim forms, I say go do it, and vice versa. And like absolutely. I said, I can't imagine two people living a braver life than you guys, living a more loving life than you guys. And it is just, it's really, truly magical to see on a much deeper level than just like a coin pass. You know, like, I mean, it's really, really good stuff. And I can't thank you. It has been really inspiring and wonderful having you in our home and on the podcast. So thank you for being on our audio home as well as in our actual home. And,
Yeah. It's been terrific and uplifting and eye-opening and educational.
Yes. Thank Looking you. Forward to having you back.
Yeah.
Bye, Rashi and Super Rika.
Oh, just get out! I want to lay on the couch and watch TV, you assholes! I've been there for 6 weeks now. I'm sick of it. Although you are really funny.
Eddie.com.
I open in Vegas next week. Bananas McGee at the Tropicana. Come and see me.
Oh, goodbye.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter @RadioRashi or @Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.
Away from me, you pinky dog.
Oh, sounds like the mailman's here.
I got that guy's prep for me anyways.
Okay.
Hey, look what Hobart's doing to the mailman. He's got his pants.
Pinky dog.
I love to see him run. Sometimes the back of his pants comes. Hey, what's this?
It's Dad,
who's Bananas McGee? Is that you?
it's
why does it smell like perfume, and why has it got a booby in the return address?
It's
that's super, definitely yours.
No, it's
Mom's super, gonna be so mad.
No.
Mom, look what Dad got in the mail.
No, that's Super Rica's. He's auditioning for a burlesque show. He's dancing under the name Bananas McGee.
Dad, you're sad. That story is very suspect.
He's out back with a boombox dancing around. He's taped down the front of his little body. He's doing it.
The things you will do to your children to corroborate your crappy stories and cover up your guilt. Father, I am ashamed of you.
I'm not too proud of myself either, Rashi.
And I'm telling Mom. Mom, look what this guy in the mirror!